key being relationships and strategy. We want to take this next section to just talk about, as Rodney said earlier, about what house church would look like or should look like, how it should function. I think we're all convinced that house church is at least one of the ways that the Bible says that we ought to meet together. Amen? Okay. It's obviously clear that meeting in homes throughout the Bible, that was clearly the path that the first century Christians went. We see that clear when Peter was released from prison in Acts 12, and he goes to Lydia's house where disciples are. We see it clearly when Paul and Silas were released from prison, right? And they make their way. I'm sorry, Peter went to Mary's house. And in Acts 16, where Paul and Silas go to Lydia's home, we hear about the house church, or the church that meets in the house of Aquila and Priscilla. And we also read about in Romans 16 where the church that met in the house of Priscilla and Aquila there. Also Nympha, the church that met in her house in Colossians 4. We could go on and on, right? Okay, so I think we're convinced, right, that our house church is biblical. And now as we're talking about it, really needs to be our core and needs to be the strength of the church, okay? And we go out from there. We know that from the Bible that what it should look like, and I think we've read this a few times, but would not hurt us if we share it again. In Acts chapter 2, the Bible says this is what the unity look like, and this is what the relationships look like. In Acts chapter 2, it says in verse 42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings. So obviously there was great devotion, commitment, discussion on God's word. Okay. There was devotion to the fellowship, to the relationships, to the breaking of bread, to absolutely focusing on communion and the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. That's what, you know, those first century Christians devoted themselves to. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together. They had everything in common. They sold their possessions and goods. They gave to anyone as he had need. Unbelievable care, concern, generosity, okay, was there. And every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts, and they broke bread in their homes. So they were having meals together as well in their homes. They ate together with glad and sincere hearts. I think we got that one down pretty much when we're eating together, right? We're pretty fired up. But we praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And then the Lord would add to their number daily those who were being saved. Okay. If I could think about what it should look like when we come together, what we want to focus on more is not as much the structured church that you might have when we have, for lack of a better word, big church. Okay, when we're all together as a congregation, but when we meet together separately, we don't want it as structured as big church. It needs to be focused more on discussion. It needs to be a family, more of a family talk. One of the things, and let me just give you some practicals, I think that will help to encourage that family discussion and to encourage what looks like more like Acts chapter 2. First thing is, when the lesson, or should I say the discussion questions, are given to us, that we send them out to the house church leaders, I think the first thing that will really help to encourage discussion in our groups is that you get these and you get it to all the people in your groups before Sunday. All right, get it to them earlier so that they can be looking at what we want to discuss, what the questions are, so that they can be in prayer and they can also prepare themselves so that they're ready to share and give. And let's have people really focusing that way so that it's not just hitting them for the first time, but to really give them that preparation time. I think the second thing is that we want it to be discussion. This is more about participation, not just membership. Okay, we want people that are coming not just to be there, but we really want them participating. And so, again, to make sure that you're thinking that this needs to be discussion oriented. Okay, and so you can have different leaders lead it. That's fine. Lead or guide the discussion. We do that in our house church. There's many different brothers that will lead the discussion, and I appreciate that so much about Jamal. But we really do want to encourage that everybody can participate in that. We don't want house church to be preaching. Okay, where you're just coming and you're laying out the points and the lesson and all of that. We really want to encourage, everyone coming together to share. One of the things I would share that I've seen in our particular house church with the Brights, I love when they have done this to encourage discussion. We've had times where the questions would be asked. And then it's proposed where, okay, turn to your right or turn to the person to your left. And would you share where you're at or what your thoughts are on these particular questions or scriptures? And so we have that going on between the two. And then we give a few minutes for that. Then we all come back together. And then we'll have a sharing with the rest of the group, what we learned. I love that. They've also done it where we've not just turned to the right or the left, but maybe get in a group of up to three or four. We'd have our discussion on what those scriptures and what those thoughts mean to us, and then come back together to share it. That would be awesome. Okay, it's worked really well. I've seen that because it really gets everybody to have to be involved, and I've appreciated that. That's a great way. I've seen that. I know that in some cases we want to go into house church and we want it to be almost like mini big church, where, you know, okay, we're gonna start with a couple of songs, then we're gonna go into announcements, then we're going to do communion, and then we're gonna go into the lesson. And really, what I would like to see and hope that we could create more, just what we read here, they were meeting together regularly, and they were eating together with glad and sincere hearts as often as we can to have a meal and really have the house church centered around that. I know that's going to take a lot of work, but I know many of you do this. I'm just highlighting one group that I know. When I've seen Wendell and Amalfis and Russell and Evelyn's group, they're having a meal every house church, you know? Every single house church, it is centered around a meal, which is awesome, which encourages the fellowship and the discussion. And I love it because, I'll see that Evelyn or whoever's hosting will put out a menu and get everybody to participate and be involved in bringing something. And I think that really does encourage the discussion when we're coming together over a meal, okay, that we can organize that as well. And I think that's very, very important. Now, I think we've seen where when we have house church, it can be sometimes challenging on the singing level, okay? not all of our best voices. You know, plenty, as you all know, plenty of folks with the joyful noise part can gather, but often a particular group can struggle with the voice part of it. Our group is a little challenged there, but although we have some great people that can lead it, and it really helped. Oh my goodness, to get a new import brother when we got Joel, who brought his guitar as well. So then that really helped us a lot. But, you know, it doesn't always have to be that you guys are going to sing. If it's a maybe not the most gifted group, you know, it might be good, as we have done in the past in our group, that we have played songs, worship songs, and we have listened and meditated there, or you can sing along as well with that. That might help as well, okay? But I don't think that you have to. I know we want to sing psalms and hymns and songs with gratitude in our heart. That part we can do, but it may not always sound the greatest. All right, so if we could work on making sure that either our songs are really good, or maybe try some different things like listening to music would also be good as well. I think, as I already said, you know, having the meal, that's an important part. But I also think I want to challenge all of us as far as how it should look. I think that the smaller, I don't know if we have a set size, but the smaller the house church is, you know, and again, I'm not going to say that it has to be this number, but encourages greater discussion and time together. I really want to hold up in the fact, because I know what that means. That means that other people have to rise up to say, I'm going to at least lead this particular house church. And I appreciate so much as I look out at, we had one very large group for what we would call the Mooresville group, which was really broken down into Lake Norman and Huntersville as well. And I appreciate so much that one large group was broken down into, not broken down, that's a bad word, right? Multiplied, it's an awesome group, but it multiplied into three groups, where Todd and Tiff, took a group, and Chris and Christy took a group. They have, I believe, the Huntersville group, you know, and so we super appreciate that. And I've also seen that with Wendell and Malthus and Russ and Evelyn's group. It was huge. When I say huge, I think, weren't you guys getting close to like 30 or, yeah, over 30, you know? And I'm like, okay, that's not going to encourage the best discussion, and it was just getting too big to take care of. And so, again, I really want to encourage them by the fact that Jose and Paula are now leading one of the groups, and so encouraged by that. Ron and Althea, and that's just really neat, because I just remember Russ and being in there, and Greg Wacker and the several other brothers being in there with Ron to study with him just a few short years ago, and you know, and now to see him and Althea, you know, leading together is really awesome. And who am I? I'm also leaving out. Oh, and Vince. Okay, and of course, our many gifted, talented man, Vince, who shows up in so many ways in serving with the Lord, and yet he also took a small group, and we really, really appreciate that. But that makes a big difference, you know, having a little bit smaller group, so that we can encourage the discussion. The small size also, we want to make sure that this group looks like family. That you are working on those relationships and really caring. You know, again, these are just a few examples. I think Delise even mentioned this. You know, Nicole recently and losing her mom. It was just so encouraging to see the sisters in our family group rally around, provide meals, give encouragement, share and lift her up. A number of folks that were there for the funeral. Just different ways of serving just makes a difference. There's that involvement. There's that care. There's that compassion. Jamal, who just lost his dad, I know just sharing with us in our men's discipleship group this past week just how much it meant that all the brothers were there. All the texts and all the messages, he said, really got him through. So much of that time talking with Enrique and just all the different brothers, he was able to talk to and be encouraged by and given advice, I know meant a lot. Rodney, when, just losing his sister, seeing that particular family group who cared, who made some of them were able to be there at the funeral. But the cards and the encouragement coming home to a refrigerator filled with food and, that's showing, that it's more than we're not just there to have a service, that we care about each other. I think of Heidi that we prayed for this morning and just talking with Jerome and Aisha and how they were watching the kids while Heidi was going through some of her treatments and how he's talking to me, we want to get meals and how we're going to help clean the house. And I mean, that's involvement. That's what we want to see, that kind of care and concern. It was interesting. I don't know, a lot of you know, but Susan Ray will be having some surgery on Monday. And, LaVanya was she just called up the group to make sure, hey, they're all tied in, right? That we're going to take care of Susan and we're going to provide some meals. Oh, we're all over that. We're on top of that. And LaVanya said, well, that's awesome that the group wants to do that and really cares. And she was saying, and this is what I love. She goes, yeah, but isn't that what family does? We care for each other when we're going through stuff. That's what we want to see, how house church should look, so that the actual time that we're together, much more discussion, much more sharing from one another, and then also some prayer. That's, we want to make sure that you're spending good time in prayer. And if those of you that house church leaders got the lesson, you'll see that Rodney also put in there, a good chunk of time for prayer. And hopefully that we're doing that in our house church as well, that it's looking more discussion oriented. It's looking more that we're all sharing together. It's looking that we're building our relationships. We're spending time in prayer and we're learning and we're building a strength together. Amen. Amen. Okay. Eugene is going to talk about how to incorporate, and Crystal, how to incorporate those teens in that house church. Okay.
Thank you. Good morning. You guys are doing okay this morning?
Yes.
Good. I one of the things that Ron usually tells me is like, Uchenna, whenever you're speaking to a group of people, remember there were different type of people in that group. Now, can you imagine on Sunday morning, I'm here up on the stage, and I'm speaking, and everything I'm saying was all about the teens. My focus, my sum, everything was just the teens. What would that look like for the rest of the group? Probably it'd be easy for you to tune out. Say, you know what, this stuff got nothing. He's talking about the teens. It's got nothing to do with me. That's hard to do. When you're speaking, you have to keep in mind that there are different type of group in your audience. You got to be able to meet their needs. Mm-hmm. It's not just the teens or the campus or the singles or the married, but you got to be able to speak in a way that middle schools, teens, campus, married, single, they should be able to walk away with something. And this is, like I said, this is not easy to do. I'm working on it. I'm still working on it. Our teens in our middle schools, they have expressed to me. Honestly, when we started doing the house church, some were begging, please, I don't want to do house church. Please, please, no, not the house church. They're like, I don't belong there. I don't fit in. The thing they say, the thing they talk about, I can't relate. You know, and I believe that in order for us to build the kind of family group that God wants us to have, we need to be able to see that every single person in that group is important and is being needed, or else it won't work. That is why 1 Corinthians 12:12, God talks about the body, that every single part of the body is critical. You just can't do with one without the other. You know, we have got to find the way to make sure that our youth are included in our worship to God. I will say a little bit more on that. I'm going to have my wife share a little practical. How can we do that and make it happen? And I come back up.
Something practically you should share was about 1 Corinthians 12:12, about the different parts. So I want you to think of the middle schoolers and the teens as the leg of the church, okay? One of the legs. Because if you think about it, they are the next generation for the kingdom that the kingdom's going to stand on, okay? So think about them as a leg. And I'm going to come back to that in a second. But practically, in reaching out to middle schoolers and teens, it does start with a relationship, you know, just like it would any other person. And middle school versus teen is different. Middle schoolers may take a little longer to really connect with. Your dynamic's going to be different in your family group if you have one teen or middle schooler versus 10 teens or middle schoolers, how you approach that and try to get into that. It may be easier, honestly, if you only have one or two, because then you have their attention. If there's 10, then it's going to be hard to break in to really pull them out. So thinking of them as the leg, if you start with the L, loving them and being genuine, that's where you want to start. Is that teens and middle schoolers, they can tell. If you're just asking because you have to, and it's just you don't really care about the answer, they see right through that, and they know that you're asking that. And so you're not going to get a lot of information out of them. They can tell if you're genuine and if you really want to know them. And that's really the first hurdle that you'll have with them. And they make it very clear and obvious. You'll be able to tell by how much they open up. So that's L, love and be genuine. E, engage them. And it's really simple. You know, it starts with when they come in the house, giving them a hug too. You know, I think as disciples, we can hug each other as adults because we know each other. But the teens, they just kind of come in because we still see them as children. They come in and play, but we don't acknowledge them and say hi, give them a hug and say their name. Smile at them. The easiest thing to do is going to try to ask them questions and find what they're interested in. Because if you find what they're interested in, they'll talk about it all day and their face will brighten up and you know you got it. So just stay on that vein and it's good. And the thing about even building relationships works with everybody. People love to hear their names, you know? So even if it's not at house church, but you see them in fellowship or in the Kingdom Kid hallway and you say their name, that makes an impression. They say, oh, you know me.
Yes.
So part of the challenge of engaging them is, I don't know if you've ever seen this look on their face.
Yeah.
Okay, you're going to see it a lot. So you don't really get past that face until they know you love them and that you're genuine and you've engaged with them. Once you have their heart, you don't get that face anymore.
Yep,
and if you do, you can say, why are you giving me that face? Right? You cannot say that if you don't have the L and the E. So pursue them. They have that look on their face because they're scared, because they don't know what you think of them, because they want to be accepted, because they don't want to get in trouble. It's kind of scary being around adults. And so they know how to, just by the look on their face, push you away. And that's what they're doing. They're just trying to push you away because they're scared. They don't know what you want. you know? But if you love and be genuine and ask questions, then they start to see, oh, you just like me for me? Oh, and I can talk about myself the whole time? Okay. So love and engage them. And the G is to give them a role. Give them ownership in your family group, at your house church. Talia's in ours, and she helps me with Kingdom Kids almost every time, to the point now where she'll text me and say, hey, do you need any help? So remember your leg of the kingdom. Remember the middle schoolers. Remember the teens. Pursue them and be patient. It'll take time. But if you do these things over and over again, you will capture their heart. And the amazing things about teens is that after you get their heart, you're sold for the rest of your life with them. They love you. They're open with you. They have no filters with you. So once you're in, you're in. This is very important to keep it in order, L-E-G, leg. Because you cannot, don't give them a role if they don't feel loved and that you're being genuine. Don't give them a role if you haven't engaged with them, because then they're going to be scared. And they're going to say, why are you asking me to do this? And it's going to be awkward, and they're going to be scared, they're going to mess up. So don't do it. Start with the L, E, and G for the leg of our church.
Awesome. Be patient with them. Please, lots of patience. But also remember, even with the youth, you're going to have two different type of groups in your ministry, depending on how many teens you have. You have the teen disciples, you have those that are not. There's two type of need in that situation. You know, those that are not, we want to be praying for them in your group. You want to find the way to get them, even though I'm not a disciple. You want them to feel still loved and cared for. Like, we don't want to have that step where they're not disciple, they don't care. So I'm going to focus. No, we want to make sure they still have the same love that you would have for another team that are disciples. There should be no separation. There should be no kind of a treatment. Okay, but just keep in mind, there's two type of needs. Pray for the team disciples, you know, that they'll stay faithful, that they'll have an impact, and those teens as well. You know, we gotta make sure that every single teen, so middle school in that group, in some type of way, feel included in what we're doing. Because they're all part of our family. Okay? They should not be in a family group where your middle school kids in a corner with a tablet, watching a DVD, a movie, or play a video game. That is not acceptable. Get to know their parents. Know the teens' names. In your discussion groups, whenever we have a discussion, find the way to relate, make your question words pertaining to the teens. Not make it a whole bunch of adult discussion. You gotta have some way to make them feel, oh, okay, I can relate to that. I have something to say about that. But just having a discussion that the way over their head, you lost them. So keep it to the level that they will keep, that we engage them in. Even here on Sunday, sometimes we speak. You notice that's why our middle schools have to have a separate service. Because a lot of things that you hear up there, what are you talking about? That's why they have to have their own separate service. And we don't want to have that in our family group. You know, but just let's just be patient with them. Pray for them. If any teens in your group want to have a Bible studies, please, you can do the Bible study with them. You don't have to call me. He says, just let me know what's going on. Let me know which teen is that. So I can be praying. I can get involved when I need to. But also, I want to encourage you. You know, I love the direction the church is going. I mean, I think some of the churches in the Southeast are doing that already, where in a small group, we have teens, campus, married, all in there, and it's been so effective and very powerful. So please, let's find a way to make this happen. And I truly believe that if we do, like my wife says, these are the next generation leaders in God's church. If we don't focus on them now, if we do not invest in them right now, we're going to lose them. Amen? Amen. At this time, we have a refreshment at Fellowship Hall. We're going to head down there for about how long, Rod, you guys, for break? 15 minutes. And then we're going to come back here again. 15